settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are talking about Christmas in the spirit world. And here we are, Mick.
Hi everyone, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on PBSradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either, but sometimes I do. And it has to be different each time, because otherwise I would come to expect something. So often it will be that they'll just take me off in a completely different way or whatever, and I never know which way it is they're going to do it. So that's sort of what happens to me. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie for you to all have a great show. Okay, bye.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consists of many great minds as well as ordinary people. Between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. And they've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraints of our human minds. Subject matter we cover will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. And if you have an idea of a topic that you'd like us to discuss one week, to open up to everybody and ask the spirit world their views on and that sort of thing, you can email us on enq@spirit-teaching.com and we will certainly do that for you. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet, and as is, I'm sure, everybody's, if they can only put their mind to it and have the time. And this may be just might be an outlet for you to be able to get your views and opinions out there into the world and shared to stimulate somebody else and maybe help somebody else with your thoughts and feelings. We are also on secondlife.com most Sundays at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 to 5 Eastern. We're going to have a couple of weeks off over Christmas, but we will be back in the new year, and we will be at the Mystic Academy in the new Oracle Temple as usual. So keep an eye out on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, for information about that. Okay. So this week we're going to be talking about Christmas. Yay! And the spirit world thought on that. And, what do they do in the spirit world at Christmas? I know they probably don't have Christmas because it's a religious ceremony, a humankind ceremony, physical earth life ceremony. So I'm sure everybody would like to know about that. And you can email. You can join us with a question. Just give us a ring. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. If you would have a question for our spirit guide, Gregory, to do with our subject tonight. It's not a readings type of situation on this show. Like I say, we do private readings at other time, and that there are other shows that do that. But you can join us with your opinions and questions, thoughts and feelings, and you can talk to Spirit Gregory and myself. The number is free phone 877-876-5227 in the USA, and Canada is 888-815-9756. If there's any international callers that would like to phone, it's not free, but it's only a quick call, 001-530-876-3222. Okay, well, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
With love and light and blessings, be upon your pathway, my dear Faye. Hello.
Hi, Gregory. Thank you. Well, it's all happening, isn't it? We're almost at Christmas.
All happening in the physical world.
It is. It is. So, what do you do Christmas Day? What happens in the spirit world? I know it's not something that, you know, that is to do with the spirit world necessarily, but it has to make an impact on you guys.
Yes, of course, because there are hundreds of millions of individuals who had been of that faith or belief, and there will be hundreds of millions in that respect who will celebrate it. That doesn't mean to say that those of us, perhaps, who may not continue to do so, that we do not celebrate it either. It's just really, in effect, what we tend to do is take advantage of the energy which is present at that time. Because really, it's one of the very few times when it is supposed to be that human beings actually put down their weapons and traditionally learn to embrace one another in many respects. I know that perhaps in your present day, that at this time the strife that exists between certain set mission-driven religious sects actually then tend to place gulfs of compassion and area between those of different beliefs and faiths. Naturally, as I have oftentimes said, in the spirit world, for many of those now disassociated with physical life, it is that they do not have the same resonance over their religious faith as they would have done perhaps whilst having their physical life. That doesn't mean to say it's the same for everyone. There are, as I say, hundreds of millions of individuals here who have continued with their belief or whatever it is that they gained in physical state, and they will continue with that, I dare say, for a good time to come yet.
So what do you do in the spirit world at Christmas time if the energy, if the energy is different, yodeling, coming from the physical earth?
Yes, well, we take always a great advantage of the energy present, the love vibration moving between one human being and another. This whole situation provides a great respite for the otherwise engaging and oftentimes harmful situations of energy between human beings in physical state, which naturally will affect various other aspects of the universe, both in the physical time state, but also in many respects of the spirit world. So it will be, dear friend, that we will take great advantage of this in bringing about healing properties, perhaps towards some beings who were, in some respects stuck, or in some respects perhaps had not been able to overcome their life situations and that kind of thing, the grievances they had perhaps of the reasons why they even took their own life, or why they even passed in the first place. Some people, after all, yes, it's often misunderstood that many people actually pass from their own state of distress. Not necessarily because they've actually done something, but oftentimes it can be to do with mental perception of what situations have occurred. And oftentimes it is that people actually pass purely and simply because of those reasons. Distress actually often does take many people's lives over to our side of life.
What, at Christmas more so? Or?
No, at any time of the year. But I'm just saying, though, that what tends to happen then is that beyond physical life, we use these situations of celebration that human beings actually bring together and bring some peace into their lives. So, for example, a family who is ordinarily perhaps warring sometimes may be brought together through the love and understanding which actually is created around this time of the year. That doesn't mean to say that it's going to be the same for all peoples, for of course there are many peoples on the earth who are not of that religious persuasion or induction.
Well, actually, a lot of families fall out over Christmas.
Well, yes, that's true too, yes.
Usually to do with alcohol and...
wrong colour socks.
The wrong colour socks, very good. And that sort of thing as well, though, because, you know, it's... I don't know, you know, if only we could be as nice to each other every other day of the year, it would be lovely, wouldn't it? I don't know about buying the presents. That would be a bit costly, but...
Well, perhaps it might stimulate your economy, friends.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, is there a difference this year in the energy that's coming around this time?
Yes.
There definitely is, isn't there?
It's noticeable, yes.
It's flatter.
Very flat, yes. It's very difficult, actually.
Mm.
And we have noticed quite a difference in the whole perception and aura of the situation, the occasion. As it has been for quite some time, I have to say, I am also reminded here by other colleagues that there were similar situations in the mid-1850s and that kind of thing, where there was quite a stark understanding between the perceptions that people had and what actually took place, purely and simply because there were many desperate poor who were coming in from the agricultural processes, if you like, the way that human beings were dealing with their lives, certainly in budding industrialized nations, that they were actually being driven from the fields and into manufacturing and that kind of thing, early manufacturing, which was actually really quite distraught in many respects. So they didn't have a simpler life. It actually became much more complicated and complex. And so actually in the 1850s, between 1850 and 1880, it actually became quite difficult for many human beings to survive around the winter time, especially purely because of the poverty they were in.
Do you think that families, the wealthier families, will be affected more, like, say, the children particularly, will be affected more, well, no, actually everybody, more than the poorer families, but then the less well-off, because they expect more, and the poorer families didn't really expect a lot in the first place. When it comes to
tended to know their lot.
Yes, when it comes to the compromise now, you know, in the economic climate, maybe if you know, let's say if everybody is affected.
Yes, I think that there are most certainly potentially a lot more people are actually affected by that state, whereas, shall we say, in certain countries in Africa, they have always been poor.
Exactly.
In many respects, and so their level of poverty actually belies their misery, in effect. I'm not saying that much of this is relieved either. It isn't. And there are many peoples, both in Eritrea, Ethiopia, wherever, where the whole state of their own situation and how they see themselves hasn't really much improved. And, of course, Zimbabwe is a current case in that respect. There's very low energy around that particular area of the planet, as in many other African states and nations.
Well, it's almost something that we can't even associate with Christmas, really, in the same breath as trying to figure out humanity in this respect. But
yes, and particularly, of course, in such areas where you have Hutu and and Tutsi who are still fighting over after hundreds of years. And they've been doing this for hundreds of years, you see. The point is that it's endemic within the nature of some tribal relationships that they will do that. Thankfully, we happen to note, actually, that in the respect of this, in the Americas, there had been a great deal of peace between tribes, really. But I know that they were warring in many respects during their heyday, if you like, during the time when they were most exhilarating. But the point is that they also understood that peace had to come between one another, even though they may have sent raiding parties to one another, perhaps to carry off one another's women, purely simply because they wouldn't allow it. And that, in fact, though in peacetime, would have been something that they would have naturally done. So it's quite strange, really, that people tend to contract when they are in times of difficulty, and they will contract their feelings and their senses toward one another, as well as their well-being. So they tend to then, you will find that in times of harsh situations, that families will perhaps actually become closer together psychologically, as well as in a loving way. They will bandy closer together purely and simply because their genetics and their predisposition will be that they want to survive, so that they will strengthen their family ties oftentimes.
Yes, well, I guess as well, if there's part of a family that is wealthier, you know, one brother may be the elder brother who is, you know, very wealthy, and the rest of the family are not, you know, then if that person, if the wealthy person is actually affected by the situation more so, then it will bring him or her down to the level, or to the level down to, you know, with the other family, if you know what I mean, more of a par, and they'll have more in common, won't they?
Yes, some say, possibly, but not necessarily.
Kicking and screaming,
yes,
as it
yes,
may be, and
so.
They might not like it, but,
yes.
You know, it's a bit, yeah, I mean, gosh, we're all so very different, aren't we, even here?
Yes, physical beings are very, very different to one another, and so too is it that it carries on in the spirit world. I can tell you, there are still families here that fight like cat and dog.
But they don't have to see each other, do they?
No, they don't have to. They don't want to. And there are situations here where a father has not talked to his daughter for 30 or 40 years or more, even after their passing.
Mm.
And duly, it will be dependent entirely, of course, on the will of one another to be able to accept the difference of perhaps that had passed in their physical lives, and perhaps try to come to some agreement of forgiveness. It doesn't necessarily mean to say that all of these things are going to be revealed, that all of them are going to be staked, that these conditions are going to be passed. It oftentimes will take many situations to overcome the trials and tribulations set up within physical life.
Okay, if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory about Christmas in the spirit world or any of the other things that we've been discussing, then it's free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
And the point I really need to make here as well is it isn't all doom and gloom either. There are situations, good situations, that oftentimes are born out of tragedies. And it is exactly the same as happening now as has happened at many other times, that there are, in times of great difficulty, human sacrifices made, if you like, are not necessarily running as deep as one thinks. Part of what you are undergoing at the present time is through repression and the expression of the way that fear creates or rears a certain specter about the whole situation you are undergoing at this time.
Mm.
Doesn't mean to say it's actual.
No.
It's much of it is perception.
Yes.
And what you perceive is going to happen is oftentimes that your perception is far worse than the actual event. I understand many people can be aggrieved at one situation or another enveloping their lives. Does not mean to say it will be a reason for coming to our side of life that they just give up. I understand many people do this. But I'm saying it isn't really the answer. Because, in fact, it's a matter of your understanding of the way that you perceive it, the way it has then the ramification effect upon you. It's never as bad as it actually it seems to be in your mind and as you paint it.
Well, definitely Christmas, I think, you know, we can only eat so much, drink so much, and you know, consume so much, basically, in one way or another. And I just, you know, there's a lot of fuss, and it's very exciting, and for the children, really, isn't it?
But a lot of people, and your whole system of belief, in a sense, has been put to one side, and what it actually then appears to contain is that your economies have grown to accept it as part of a bonus of the year.
Yes, rely on it.
Yes,
totally.
Which is completely ridiculous in many respects. Mm. And I understand that that means then that it's created a certain spur within the situation of the merry-go-round that you find yourselves in, but it doesn't necessarily mean to say that it solves all problems.
Well, no, and the people that it affects people that don't feel that they can keep up with, you know, they get into debt and they can't keep up with the presence and the amount that they the consumerism of the whole thing.
Yes.
And it all gets a bit out of hand, but
that's only in certain countries, of course.
Well, absolutely, that's right. And what about the other religious ceremonies of the year as well? You know, apart from Christmas, you know, the Christian aspect of it.
Yes, the problem is, you see, is that the whole situation, even the calendar cycle, is actually geared around it. And I suppose, in many respects, then that means it takes a precedence over the entire planet, rather than it being just a part of the control. So you have, in fact, the whole year cycle and the whole situation of your calendar as being crafted upon it. So it means then that even the year that you celebrate is actually a part of that whole sphere of life.
Give us some examples of what you're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, I can think of a few, but yes.
Yes, so in other words then, dear friend, even the structure of the calendar is that you presently go by is structured around this whole situation of center of belief. So every aspect of it is brought about in that respect, regardless then of whether other religions wish to accept it or not.
Absolutely, yes, yes, including the, you know, the day off, religious days off, and all sorts, really.
Absolutely so. I understand, however, that there are many other conditions that I suppose in some respects people regard the whole situation around the certain aspects of one of the Mayan calendars, one of the many Mayan calendars, I believe there were 90 altogether, where they actually structured it for in so many years' time that there was to be some kind of upwelling. But what I'm saying is that actually it's already begun, and the upwelling is really to do with the changing of ideas. It's not necessarily to do with the perceptions that are created because it's part of the calendar cycle, but rather that it's an upwelling which is coming through the culmination of evolutionary processes, and that it had to go this way purely and simply because it couldn't do anything else. So, if, for example, friend, the whole situation that you have, the state of your planet, and the fact that global warming has made such an impact upon it, is now finally being acknowledged by perhaps some of those who wield the greatest power. So this means to say that this final situation then brings a whole different release to the possibilities of the physical state and of people's lives within that physical state. So for the first time, in fact, in many, many years, you have the potential of growing out of these current financial disasters a most beneficial and wondrous situation in the fact of the realization that global warming is in fact is in point of fact, and that, as we have said for so many years, that the situation has to be resolved through scientific means and actual physical activity. So it means the changes in these activities are going to create success. And, of course, it only simply has been brought about by this current realization and resurgence, I have to say, of new industry, of new understanding. That's what has to come about in human understanding, in the realization of not old perceptions. Oh, yes, I'll keep my head buried in this pot of sand until the crisis passes. It's not going to do anyone any good. And that's exactly the same in the spirit world. Because in actual fact, if you continue to repeat situations in the spirit world, you simply won't gain any access. You won't get any further forward. People only gain access in the spirit world to other places, to other environments, if they themselves can perceive beyond their current thinking, beyond the presence of mind, of their consciousness that they have become glued to.
Okay. So what about children in the spirit world at Christmas? Because it seems that that would be a lovely thing. Have you any stories of things that go on in the spirit world that you can share with us that we might find interesting?
Well, I understand, my dear friend, that there are, of course, many times when children simply do not survive their physical life and pass still at a very young age. And it will be at these times when their loving awareness is often drawn back to, or so that they return to the situation of their physical parents or whatever still surviving in physical life. And oftentimes it will be these times which are so precious to those parents, those physical parents or siblings, offspring, whatever, that have happened around that physical life, and the expression of that life continues to be present in the spirit world. So it will be oftentimes, dear friends, that we find, even if it is that the parents of a child, that this disaster perhaps happened to them 40 or 50 years ago, and that their child, it doesn't mean to say that child is pining for them or that they are pining for the child. It's just in loving memory of that existence. Exactly the same with someone who perhaps their loved one passes in a war or some other situation of great, which had created great anxiety around the time of their passing. These are not situations then that you have to remember with great sadness or senses of loss. I understand, because all of these emotions are always left kept carried with those in the physical world. But that doesn't mean to say that they're left kept carried with those in the spirit world. Oftentimes they will have overcome these kinds of senses and states of tragedy, even perhaps just a few days after they had passed.
But what about children in the spirit world at Christmas? Do you do anything for them that
especially
maybe,
so?
Yes. So what do you do? You know, because especially if they've not been passed that long.
Well, it will be particularly to do with their energy, really. And oftentimes we will share in events and help them to share in events in the physical world. So that's oftentimes as well when it is that people still living in physical life will actually feel their energy around them, not purely because it's at this time that they remember them and that perhaps they feel more so the tenderness of guilt that they're still living and surviving, in a sense, when their dearest loved one, in such an innocent form, has been lost to them. The point is that they're not. They're not lost to anyone. Perfectly happy, generally. And the point is that human beings tend to fixate upon what they went through, regurgitating those memories, oftentimes as quite negative ones. And instead of perhaps remembering their offspring in other terms, in other ways. But I do understand this, and it can actually be quite distressing for some parents to go through this situation, which then creates actually some distress for those in the spirit world, particularly children, as I say. But oftentimes, the children themselves will be perfectly all right. They're very resilient, much more than human physical people tend to give children credit for. That's usually why it is that children are able to rise above situations of sequences of sickness and that kind of thing.
You say before many times that you create things with your mind in the spirit world.
Yes.
So
the consciousness is a living thing.
So can you create something for children in the spirit world, Christmas trees and that sort of thing?
Oh, yes,
partly,
of course.
No.
Absolutely so. Whatever the environment that the child wants to create or that the mind wants to create, we encourage them to look upon things anew, really, so that they are not distressed or whatever. That oftentimes tends to be the semblance that they're left with, the residue energy that they're left with, oftentimes through their physical relationship, because of the fact, perhaps, that they're observing that their parents are distressed because their presence no longer exists in their midst. And then it means it's actually quite difficult for them to access them. That's what physical people have to remember. It's a celebration. And the love energy that we celebrate in the spirit world, oftentimes at this time of year, is simply helping us to help those others who perhaps have recently passed or some such thing have not become used to the spirit world activity and therefore actually tend to depend more upon the energy emanating from the physical world. The point is that very often in the spirit world we create our own energy. We don't just rely purely and simply upon the energy that comes from the physical world or their remembrances of us. Nothing of the kind at all. We create our own. That's part of the point, I suppose, that many situations and states of religion do not actually identify with. I have to think that for some reason that the physical world always has to think of the spirit world because we cannot think for ourselves or create or generate our own energy.
Okay, so you just use the energy, the extra energy.
Yes.
Coming from here at Christmas.
In order to cope with the various problems that may arise purely because of the festivities or because of the state of relationship between those in the spirit world and those in the physical reality. So it actually helps us to mend those fences and to perhaps encourage individuals, children especially, to overcome the difficulties created by their relationships.
Well, yes. I mean, why not utilize it and use it? Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
You have said before that people do tend to pass quite a lot at Christmas anyway.
Yes, that's true too. And oftentimes that can be purely because the love energy gives them an access gateway. So it means to say they just let go because they're actually drawn by the immense love that comes from the spirit world at this time. That's the point really as well. I have to say, we use the situation because we know that it oftentimes creates abundance in energy. So, therefore, and that can be one way or another. So, we will oftentimes use that abundance in energy for very positive things in order to turn situations around, relationships or whatever that need mending.
So, at Christmas, so what will you be doing at Christmas time?
Me, personally, I'm going to be visiting with my parents, both of them. and other members of my family. I'm going to spend some time with Ham, who was my cousin, who I not really miss, because I see him quite regularly, but we will go over old situations, places that we used to dwell within, that we experienced in our memories. Doesn't mean to say that we're regurgitating mournfully or some situation or other that we were involved in. It's actually in a time of recalling images and journeys we made together, and also other images and journeys we've made since.
So,
because in actual fact, we've done a great deal of exploration of the planet that we never made whilst we were in physical life.
Mm.
And I've actually helped him and others to retain those and create new understandings through these visits.
Okay. You will be spending it with your parents and Ham and other relations, probably.
Yes.
All right. So in what environment? You go to somebody's house? Do you meet somewhere?
Yes, sometimes we do that. We do that, absolutely. For example, my father still has a place in the area, in the vicinity of where we used to live. And not that it's still standing, but that rather he has created his own space there of what he would have always liked to have had, had he had the wherewithal to establish that in his physical life.
Mm.
And there are many situations. For example, the Red Lion in...
the Red Lion Public House.
Yes,
pub.
It's still standing. So we actually go there.
Where you used to have an ale?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, quite so. Yes. And also, we actually also move around the actual place of the monastery that we were actually associated with at the time as well. And even we have moved into different situations as well, different places in physical life that we never would have actually dreamt of visiting. And that is the case oftentimes in the spirit world, that we'll actually visit physical places. We've actually been to many different locations upon the planet. I have taken my family to many different states of mind and states of consciousness within the spirit world to actually observe different situations of physical reality.
That they never would have seen before.
Yes, and just because you see we've passed doesn't mean to say that we're then devoid of physical reality or do not have any contact with it. That's something that's oftentimes misconstrued. It doesn't mean to say that we hanker after anything on the physical reality, but it is very interesting to see the ways that things have changed and moved on.
So it's like a trip down memory lane, only...
yes, in a sense.
Isn't it?
In a sense it is, yes. But not just purely that it is left laboured by that, but rather that it's a sense of celebration that we have as well. And oftentimes many here on our side of life will use the advantage of energy, as I say, collected at this time of year, in order to further advance perhaps something that they would not have seen ordinarily. One of the situations that we oftentimes takes place here is that we help, for example, the many who went down with the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
As this is a sense and state of occasion for many of those. That doesn't mean to say that they dwell within it, but it is a time of remembrance because of the fact that so many passed at once. Then it's the same at many situations, sites of battles and that kind of thing, that they will oftentimes repeat those journeys or perhaps come together at those times when they took around the time when they actually took place.
Mm.
But oftentimes we will use this particular time of year to heal those kinds of situations. That doesn't mean to say that they're still open wounds, you understand? But they're actually really just recounting the journey.
Mm.
And sometimes it helps and other times it doesn't help. Depends entirely upon the individual, a bit like psychology now in your present physical understanding. Mm. Sometimes it will help a person to revisit that site of injury. Other times it won't.
Well, I guess, so talking about visiting the different places of where you used to live with your family and that sort of thing, so that's more of a light-hearted situation, isn't it, for you? Because obviously
yes.
a lot of your work is a bit more heavy going than that.
It is
fun. That, so you're going to be having fun with your family, basically.
Absolutely, yes. So we will return, as I say, to my father's dwelling, mm-hmm. which he has created using his own consciousness. That's the fun part about it.
So you can actually go in his dwelling
yes.
that he created.
Yes, exactly. And that's what anyone can do.
Mm.
Of course, you have to be invited. It's only a small dwelling, I understand. He didn't have grand ideas.
Funny, isn't it?
Yes, and he still wishes to keep to that respect, you see.
Yes, obviously he's not there all the time or anything like that. But
no, exactly. And then when he wants to recreate it, it's there. Exactly as he had left it. If that is what he wants to do.
So what are your memories of your childhood and Christmas time when you were living on the physical earth?
Well, I suppose in many respects it was quite poverty-driven, really.
Mm.
As I have said oftentimes before, we actually had quite difficulties in our physical lives, and really the eking out of the meagre living existence, my father actually would not bat an eyelid at perhaps taking something from the land at this time of year, if it came to pass.
Mm.
And oftentimes we would dwell upon that. We would use whatever food we could get, really. Times were difficult. And that's exactly what we would do. So it meant, yes, looking at all of this realistically, that my father would have to go out and find some animal that we could eat.
Mm. Yes, well, that's survival, isn't it? And
yes.
But what about the other aspects of Christmas?
But that doesn't mean to say that now, of course, we would go out and kill a chicken or something like that, because it doesn't happen.
No. But so, your mother passed when you were three.
Yes.
So, obviously, you don't remember anything before that to do with Christmas. But what about, I'm saying that and you're frowning, do you remember Christmas with your mother?
It's actually very difficult, that part of it. I do if I really concentrate, but the point is, really now, I have celebrated many more with her than I ever had in physical life.
Mm.
After all, only 3 years was I alive whilst she was, so the whole situation surrounding it is something of a misrepresentation. Oftentimes, it will be thought of in the emotional memory much deeper than it is in actuality. Because in point of fact, my remembrance of it didn't really run that deep. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have a relationship now, because we do. In fact, the relationship that we have now is much better and stronger, perhaps, because of the time that we didn't fall apart, that we didn't have disagreements or whatever through our relationship. So, in actual fact, our relationship is purer than it would have been, perhaps, if we'd had a physical life. I know that we didn't actually move through the situations, the stations of our lives, and therefore get to know one another in the pure physicality of it, but that as pure spirit beings, we have continued to be able to do that. And so we've very much caught up upon what each other feels like and how one another thinks, although I understand we're both quite different now than we were when we had a physical life. And that's the point, I suppose, that many people have to realize and oftentimes do realize when they're communicating with loved ones from the spirit world, that their loved ones have actually left alone a lot of the disagreements that they would have had when they had a physical life. And that's the point, really, to make here, that so many people perhaps they think that, well, pastimes have to be buried. Of course they do. There are situations that I would have loved to have shared with my mother, and perhaps also that I would have loved to have shared in any event as a physical being. I would have loved perhaps to have been married to someone, to have found a physical relationship which I could have then celebrated.
Mm.
That doesn't mean to say I have not gone on to have relationships with others here in the spirit world, which I have, obviously, because love divine continues to exert itself, continues to be of great depth and wonder for all of us. And so we actually create new relationships out of our, not necessarily out of purely fond memories or lack of memories that we may have had. Yes, you understand. So there are children, for example, here who perhaps didn't have fond memories. Maybe they were abused in their physical life. What then of their memories? How can they possibly share those? You see, if that was all that they had. So, therefore, obviously, even in such situations of such trauma of physical life, whereby people or children were slaughtered for whatever reason, then it doesn't mean to say that those are the only memories that they have. We build new ones.
Mm.
They build new ones. They create new ones through the presence of their life.
Are you able to create presents for children in the spirit world that have just come maybe at Christmas time for
yes.
them to open and that sort of thing?
Well, sometimes, yes. We will do just that. And even in the same way that apports are created, sometimes, in physical reality, we're able to do that in terms of the spirit world. Now, I know that perhaps you would say, well, those are physicalities are not necessary for the specifics of the spirit world resonation. And the way that we tend to operate, however, is to do with the fact that thoughts are living things. Therefore, with thought, we can create different balances and we can create different and new situations so that the child, perhaps, in the spirit world who never had a teddy bear as a present because they simply didn't know that they existed or the relevance of a stuffed toy for them wasn't something that was brought or created in their physical life present, we may well bring that as a consciousness actuality. So actually deliver them a thing that they can then, will then be able to attract certain energy to.
That they have to actually try to learn to use their mind.
Yes.
Really.
Because we encourage that in any event.
Mm.
Because that's partly how they're going to gain access to other aspects of the spirit world. So we always will try to do that. Now, I understand that there may well be some children who actually don't have a current aspect of mind. Maybe they were born in a permanently vegetative state. What then?
Mm. Well, like last week that you were saying that the soul group memory...
Yes, it then comes into play. Mm. Yes, that's right. The soul group memory of all of those others in from your actual soul group is something which is then shared among all beings. That's the point. So no one actually goes without. What then of children, shall we say, who don't actually have the memory of certain other conditions of their growing up state because they passed before they went through it? See?
Mm-hmm.
These are then becoming shared experiences of those times. Perhaps the purity of some children actually helps others who didn't have that purity to overcome their own balances of grief or their own balances of care and understanding. So perhaps relative to that life, they would give one another conditions of balance throughout their lifetime experience. So it means to say then that a child perhaps who never experienced a teddy bear or a stuffed toy during its physical life would perhaps be helped by someone who was, but that because of that child's purity was perhaps they do an exchange of energy. So it's very much a giving process.
Okay. Do many do the same as you and go back to their families at Christmas anyway?
Well,
in
sometimes,
the spirit world,
yes.
Spirit world people.
Yes, sometimes it will be the case. That doesn't mean to say that necessarily all ancestors will get on either.
So
sometimes they fight like cat and dog.
Are there any ancestors of yours that your family from the spirit world will visit that are still here?
An interesting point, my dear friend.
I mean, do you bother with anyone?
No, not particularly. I understand it's a very small fraction of energy.
And very distant.
And extremely distant. So it's not really a condition that we continue to relate to. I have to say, though, there are more Hays in France now still living than there exist in your country presently.
Mm. And you didn't have brothers or sisters either, so...
No, I did not.
No.
So it's really to do with distant cousins and that kind of situation.
Yeah. So, and it is only a genetic thing, as you say.
It is only a genetic situation anyway. We're not ancestrally bound the same way that perhaps it would have been through the display of emotional fields in physical life that, shall we say, that native peoples have, certain indigenous peoples have, within their own groups. They will actually still be drawn to those areas. I'm not that way inclined myself.
So what sort of presence did you have then when you were...
In physical life. Not much.
No, I know. I guess food on the table was a win situation, really,
yes,
wasn't it?
Definitely a win-win situation, yes. And that was really oftentimes the only way that we regarded it. We didn't necessarily give one another, we didn't have presents.
To give?
My father did not have presents to give to me in his physical life. Life was very poor and very difficult.
Mm. And what about the religious aspect of it, where you lived? Because you had a lot to do with the monastery, because that was the sort of...
Yes, because of our Catholicism.
Yeah.
So it actually meant that we continued to display that. Mm. And that's not something that we continue to display now.
No.
I suppose one could say we're lapsed.
Well.
But I don't regard it that way.
No, because you don't regard religion, basically.
No, exactly not.
But you respect everybody's right to...
To whatever belief they want to hold.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely determined by their own conscious state of mind.
So what about Father Christmas then, Gregory?
Father Christmas and Mrs. Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, surely...
Well, there are people who continue to dress up as Father and Mrs. Christmas.
Really?
Yes, absolutely so. And, of course, the whole situation and citation of elves and dwarfs and that kind of thing, because of the fact they're actual physical entities, or rather that they're actually spirit entities, and that they actually exist in some form or another, means that it holds a totally different transformation for us in our side of life. Also, of course, for the many different energies and entities of spirit who exist at this time, and who exist at all other times too, to do with Fairy, and the ways of their interactivity. So they sometimes come out, sometimes they illuminate themselves around this time of year, using the energy to utilize their presence.
Well, you see, this is it. There's elves, dwarves, Fairy, and... that sort of thing, that are real.
Yes.
Father Christmas,
which is actually a folklore.
A folklore, yes.
Yes.
So
Father and Mrs. Christmas.
Yes, absolutely. So you've got those together that are mixed together there.
Yes, and...
Part of it is actual reality.
Yes, and we are actually also have all of those Father and Mrs. Christmases who, through the ages, have played that role. And they oftentimes will actually bring out their red and white hats and everything else. And also their whole sentiment energy as well, their emotional energy, which is tied to this state at this time of complete giving is something which is actually made up and realized at this time.
Oh, I'm blowed. That's funny. That's lovely, isn't it?
So they continue to bring about that presence, you see.
Mm. Well, they obviously got to bring their energy to help Father Christmas that's doing it now.
Absolutely so, yes. Hopefully that they're not going to be grumpy.
Distant relatives.
Yes, quite so.
Okay. Well, Gregory, thank you very much. That's been fun.
With love and light and blessings be upon your journeys, everyone. God bless. Cheers.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And you have a lovely Christmas, everybody. And we'll see you again next Monday on the wonderful BBS radio at the same time. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I've got the power, you got the power, we got the power.
Hello, this is Karen Tallcat Conley, psychic medium and creator of Tallcat Psychic 101, Mondays on Station 1. What if spirituality was meant to be surprising, chaotic, and joyful? What if God has an irreverent sense of humor? Can we communicate with and learn from non-physical beings? If we are psychic by design, then maybe big-time psychics aren't such a big deal, and hey, why are some psychics so darn weird? Psychic 101, navigate your way through New Age commercialism, keeping your humor in balance.